clap of praise. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God in the highest. Praise you, Lord. Maybe see just for a minute, or we'll send Brother Alexander out here. Yeah, it's good to have everyone here. It's good to have Jesus here. Amen. Pretty sure, I tell you all this, that your amens won't offend me. I'm pretty sure Brother Alexander will say the same thing. Here's something good. Go ahead and give God praise today. It's all right. Thank you, Lord. We didn't come to hear from a man anyhow. Came to hear from Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that I've got enough faith that He said if two or three would gather together, He'd be here. How many feels His presence now? Now let's take all of our lives, all of yesterday, all of this morning. You know how it goes sometimes. You just got so much. And I'll just, most of y'all know what happened with the house that I used to have rented. It burnt down on Friday. So I've got plenty to think about. I don't live there, so I'm not homeless by no means, but it's still something I'm going to have to figure out. But I'm glad I don't have to figure it out. I'm glad I got somebody who already figured it out. I've still got no voice. I'm still going to praise Him anyhow. I mean, I might have a hard time, but Job had his house burned down and all his cattle stolen and his children dead. And he still could say, I'm not cursing God to his own wife. That's tough for us brothers sometimes, but he had an absolute, the word of God. Amen. I ain't preaching today, just in case you're wondering. But you know how that goes. I feel His presence here. I really enjoyed Wednesday night. And as a pastor, I'll tell you what I enjoyed most about it. I mean, I love feeling the presence of God. I love getting in the Spirit and worship and where everything else is just gone, fade away. You don't even see your neighbor. All you see is Jesus. And I believe that's what heaven's going to be all about, just being in the presence of God. But what I really enjoyed more than anything was, that was not some skim milk kind of message. That wasn't a pump up kind of message, but the word had the effect. It was the word of God came, the people received the word, and it caused a stimulation. And that's when you know you got Christians. It tears them up left, right, up, and down. They still can have a good time in church. It's not easy on the old flesh, but that's why we were given the Holy Ghost, to put it under submission. And say, flesh, you don't feel like it today. Maybe that's you today. Flesh, don't feel like it, tired, don't want to do nothing. Tell it too bad. We're here to praise the Lord today. I'm here to receive the word, and I'm here to support God in His cause. So God bless you today. It's good to be here. It's good to have Brother Alexander. It's been a little while since we've had him, but I'm glad he's here today. His family as well. We always appreciate them. Let's just stand and we'll sing a song as he comes on out here. I can't seem to get anywhere just yet. Just give me a G. Let's just sing how worthy He is. Worthy. Oh, worthy. Worthy. The Lamb that was slain. With all your heart, give Him praise. Worthy. Worthy, worthy, the Lamb. Oh, just surrender yourself to worship today. Let's sing praise Him, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Lift your voices to your God. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him. Oh, praise the Lamb. Him that was slain, I'll praise Him. Thank you, Father.
certainly is worthy this morning. Yes, amen. You know, John, they looked and they looked through heaven and earth. They couldn't find one that was worthy to open those seals. But and as he began to despair, there's a voice that said, "Weep not, John.
Hallelujah.
Weep not, John.
Amen.
The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's prevailed."
Amen.
He turned to see that bleeding lamb with a book. Is that right? He took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. So we're thankful for that today.
Amen.
You know, I had a brother the other day. He was asking about the seventh seal. And I said something to him. I said he was asking about that mystery. I said, "Well, go read Christ the Mystery God Revealed. It's in there." And he's like, "Well, where at?" I'm like, "Well, I'm thinking the whole thing." I remember studying that with Brother Andrew one time, and I just appreciate being with a brother and a friend who I've come here and taught before and things as well, and just it's my home away from home. So we're just so thankful. I'm so thankful to know their family, him and Brother Stephen and Brother James. And, of course, they all know me, and much to my chagrin. but we're thankful the Lord has brought us this way to see two wonderful pastors, a song leader, all this. We're just so thankful for what God has done in each life. If you want to open your Bibles before I get too sentimental here this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We just appreciate the grace of God. I was sharing with a brother. I was planning to go a certain way, and I prepared a certain thing, and I got up this morning and I prayed, which was a good idea. And the Lord just had me go this way instead. So a sermon that's born in the head, it reaches the head, amen. But if it's born in the heart, it reaches the heart. So we just want to be led by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. Good to see each one this morning. Congratulations to our sister for her Sunday school there. I believe the Lord will bless you with that. I believe the God has his hand on you there. Amen. Verse 16, it says here, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Now, we'll look at several things here, but I want you to notice his attitude is not just about the life to come. But he's saying right now, you're still in your sins. Your present life, as well as the future one. Your present life, you're still in sins. Everything you've got, it's just a workup. It's just a mental conception, amen. But if your faith, if it's not in vain, you're not in your sins anymore, amen.
Right.
Verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept?" And we say, amen.
Amen.
"For since by man came death, by man," notice the kinsman redeemer here, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen. Now think about that. Not just the sinner, but the saint. Or not just the saint, but the sinner. They'll come up in a resurrection as well. They'll be made alive again. Is that right? But for an entirely different reason than us. But for us, the second death, it has no power. Amen. Amen. He says here, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order." Amen. That's what we're talking about here. Christ the first fruits. "Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Of course, he's quoting the 110th Psalm there. Verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to you, Father, in submission. Lord, desiring that your will and your word would be done this morning, Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, for me now, Lord, I'm just asking for me, Lord, you'd help me to get out of the way. You'd help my needs this morning, Father. Father, I'm humbled to be here, Lord. There could be so many other men that I might think would be better here this morning, but it's come to me to be here this morning. So, Father, my desire is not to speak to these people at all or to be seen by these people, but that you would manifest your light in this place, Father. You'd speak to each one now, Father. Give me an unction and a boldness, Father, to speak your word. And, Lord, for each one here also, my prayer is for them, Father, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive that which is behind the veil this morning, where the Shekinah glory dwells. Father, may you bless your people in an abundant way. Father, as we turn the page again this morning in your book of Acts, Father, and you're writing another page out here, Lord, it might not be seen in the history books, Father. It might not be in a light, in a marquee somewhere, but Father, it's written in heaven today. There's overcomers here today. They're going to get deliverance today. They're going to write another page. They're going to have victory. They're going to have deliverance and healing today. There's going to be joy in this place today, Father. And we just appreciate, Father, your goodness to us. The depth of your mercy and your grace for your little bride. We just ask these things now, Father, and we'll be careful always to give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for we ask it now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride said, amen, amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. I'd like to speak this morning on the final enemy. Of course, it says last enemy here, but final sounds a little more final. So I'm not trying to change the word. I'm just using an adjective there. But the final enemy. Just to kind of lay a foundation, if you want to look, I'm going to read you out of Hebrews chapter 2 here. The 14th verse says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Amen. He became a man. Redemption's by a man. The resurrection is by a man. Amen. As we read. Why did he do this? That through death. Amen. Yes, now think about this. The very thing that Satan had purposed, death, he through death destroyed him.
Amen.
I mean, he took the devil's own device, his own agenda, if you could say it that way. He made this mechanism by which he was going to drag men in, there's a place, there's a hell, amen. And it was created not for men, but for the devil and his angels, but it's enlarged itself to swallow the souls of men. He had this plan, and yet Jesus is going to take the very thing that Satan had purposed to destroy you with, and he destroyed him with it. That he might destroy him that had, amen, past tense, that had the power of death, amen, that is the devil, and deliver them, amen, who's received a deliverance, amen, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, amen. I'm going to key on this in just a moment, but I want you to realize there's a bondage there. What? Through the fear of death, amen.
Yes, that's right.
It wasn't just the death that produced bondage, but it was the fear of an impending death. It brought men into bondage, amen. If I might read on here for a moment. Here he says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." Amen, I say. "Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Amen. And so now we see this man, Jesus knew what it was like, amen, to hunger, amen. He knew what it was like to thirst, but I want you to realize he was tempted, amen. He knew what it was like to be tempted with alcoholism, amen, with lust, with all kinds of things. He knew what it was like to be tested with fear and trembling, amen. He was placed in a garden where he so prayed so fervently that he sweat great drops of blood, amen. You think of the pressure that our Lord was placed under as a man, amen. Because he wasn't tempted as a God, he was tempted as a man, amen? Because he had to overcome as a man. But he can't overcome as a man by himself, but he did because he'd received the Holy Ghost. He'd been to a place where he could receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost enabled him, amen, to have this ministry, to have this life. And now he comes to a place, though, and I want you to realize this, he comes to a place where even his father, he could lift up his voice and say, "Why have you forsaken me?" Amen, now he's in a place where he's asking, "Let this cup..." He already told his disciples, "What am I going to do? Am I not going to go up?" He already rebuked Peter for saying that, "Oh, you're not going to go up and do that." But now here he is as a man. He's being tested in the garden. Well, praise the Lord. Man, I should have preached this before. This is good. I don't know. I'm on my notes. Amen. Here he is being tested as a man. To this place of contrition. Amen. Why? And he had to be. Why? For your sakes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
As human beings, there's a... We're born in this world, and unless you have some sort of a genetic discrepancy in your genetic code, fear is something that we all have. Amen. And there's a healthy, normal, biological amount of fear. You know, you see a stop sign, you stop. Amen. Because you don't want to go get hit in traffic. That's okay. Amen. You know, you see a fire, you don't stick your hand in it. You know, you're going to get hurt. That's all right. Amen. But there's a spirit of fear, the Bible says. And it's not the spirit, if you're a Christian, that's not the spirit we've received. We've not received the spirit of this world, again, of bondage to fear, amen? We've not received a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it's a different type where the bondage of that fear is gone from the believer. Well, they're no longer worrying about what's to come, but as the prophet said, God took death and he hooked it to a buggy, and all it does is it brings you into the presence of God. Amen.
Yeah,
it's just a means of that God has taken it, and the very thing that Satan had wanted to use against you, it's just bringing you into the presence of God even sooner. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There's a natural amount, like I said, that's healthy. Amen. I was trying to figure this out with my wife. I was talking about this the other night, and there was a brother, and I believe he had children and stuff, and he was a smoker, and I made a comment to him about how, well, you trying to end your life faster? Don't you want your kids to have a daddy or something? And he made this comment. I was like, well, you know, when it's your time, and you've all heard this before. Well, you know, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go, and there ain't nothing you can do about it anyway, and so you just don't worry about these things. And I said, well, why don't you let your children go play in traffic then?
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
Because, I mean, if it's not their time to go, you can just cartwheel out on I-69, you'll be fine. Amen.
Right, yeah.
It's not your time to go. Amen. And see, and it's funny because a person like that, despite the fact that they act so nonchalant about it, yet when it comes to time that they start getting sick, they're still in the hospital trying to stay alive.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Amen. They still go to the doctor. They're still trying to find a way out. They're still trying to a respirator, and they'll stay in a respirator for 10 years in a place where they're physically bound to a bed. Why? Because they cling to this life that they were just so they were ready to get over it anyway. And so even though they talk a good talk, they don't walk a very good walk. Amen. Amen. And so what we see is you have something to do with it too. Amen. I was trying to think of a way to say this, but you have influence over the length of your years. Amen. The Bible makes there's a commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise is a promise of longer life. If you honor your father and your mother, is that right? And so you have something to do with it. Amen. And just to give you a couple examples this morning, before I go on, Brother Bram talks about a couple people whose lives, their lifespan was changed. And the first one I want to talk about is a brother. His name was Brother Ramsey, I believe his name was. He was a pastor of the Church of God there around Jeffersonville. And he'd served God for so many years, and he worked in a garage. And Brother Bram went there one day. He got back from Africa, I believe it was. And he got back, and he went to take his car and get the oil changed. And he said, he asked him, how'd your meetings go overseas? Like, oh, man, they went real well. And Brother Bram said, well, you got to come with me sometime. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. He's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I don't serve the Lord anymore. And so Brother Bram was joking. He said he's just putting me on. I was like, are you just joking about that? He said, no, I don't serve the Lord anymore. He's like, well, don't you believe? He said, well, I believe, but I just don't serve him anymore. He's like, well, don't you love him? I was like, if I loved him, I'd serve him. So he believed in God still, but there have been things. The one place he talked about, he said, things had happened to him.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Things have happened. How many times have you seen things happen? Amen.
Amen.
You ministers, you understand things happen. You people that aren't ministers, you understand things happen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So things had happened. Brother said, well, don't look at things, look at God. Amen. Well, this man got his eyes off God. Well, praise the Lord here. And he didn't want to serve God anymore. And so Brother Ram, he thought he was just kind of joking with him. He goes home and he talks to his wife about it. And he said it felt like when you steal cookies from a baby. I've never done that, but I imagine it don't feel very good.
Yeah.
So he decided, I'm going to go back. And so he talked to this brother more, and he couldn't get the brother to change his mind. Another brother, Brother Smith, went to talk to him, tried to warn him too. This man had gotten in such a place where he was working with another brother in the garage when it was a Sunday. And he said, well, all the bars are closed down in Jeffersonville. Go across the river and get me a case of beer. And the guy's like, I ain't going to do that for you. You're a servant of the Lord. He's still calling him a servant of the Lord. He said, I won't do that for the servant of the Lord. He said, I'll fix your vows, but I ain't doing that. You go get your own. So the guy went and got his own beer. Brother Branham, he makes a statement here in his when he's preaching this in the Hebrew series about this. He says he started going down and got sick.
Right.
See, God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I done everything I could. Brother Smith went to him and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could. Still, he just shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died.
Right.
Now, watch what he said. Now, this is remarkable. He says, that showed he was a saved man.
Right.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. If God could not make him bring him in obedience, he will take him out of the earth and bring him home.
Right.
Amen. Now, watch. Now, man had a lifespan, but God shortened it, not for judgment, but for mercy on that man. Where a man could get to a place that I don't even love God anymore, God still loved him. God said, that's still my child, amen. You ever been mad at your mom or dad before? He was mad at his dad. Well, you know what? You're still my son. I'm still going to take you home, amen. He said here, He said, that's exactly what the Bible said. It's what it promises. If you won't stand correction, you got to come home. So God cannot lose you after He saved you, but He can shorten your days here. Now, notice, God can do that, amen? And make you pay for every sin you've done. So if you sin, you've got to pay for what you've done. Just remember that. He says, now the Lord be with you. I believe tonight Brother Ramsey was saved. Boy, where'd Job's friends go there? Oh, Brother Job, you just obviously you messed up, Job. God's putting you in hell. No, He was trying to help you out. Well, praise the Lord. Absolutely, I believe it. But he just wouldn't obey God. And when he wouldn't obey Him, God had to bring him home. That's the only thing to do, because what is it? He would bring a reproach and disgrace to the blood wherewith he was sanctified. Is that right? Count the covenant an holy thing. If that isn't just what this Hebrew letter said, it would be impossible for him to be lost, but he would bring shame and disgrace. So God take him off the earth and bring him home. That's exactly what taking place. So now notice, this man died. He died early. Didn't mean he wasn't saved. But yet God shortened his days for his sake. Amen. There's another woman, and I'll give you the opposite example here, Brother Brent. Is this all right this morning? You probably all know these, but that's all right. I don't have a new message to preach to you, by the way. I hope we're okay with that. I'm okay with it. Amen. There's a woman one time, Brother Branham, she was part of a family, and the mom and dad, they'd come to church, and I love how he said, when the revival was on, they were there. But when the revival died down, they weren't there. They didn't have a pole, he said. Amen. And they'd be in and out of church during revival times and this and that, and they served God one day, and they wanted to get right with God, and then they just had a mind for the things of the world and went off. And this woman, she'd had two kids, and her mom and dad, of course, she grew up, she got married, and she had two kids of her own. And one day she took sick, she had another baby on the way, and the baby they had a miscarriage, and it was beginning to poison her. The doctors couldn't do anything for it, didn't know what to do. And so she calls for Brother Branham to come. He comes under the oxygen bubble, and she says, I'm worried, and I know I need to get right with God. He's like, well, we'll pray for you to get healed. And she's like, well, that's all right, but I need to be saved, she said. Uh-huh. And so he has prayer with her, and the parents are afterwards, well, we need to get right with God too after we see all this. Like, well, that's good and fine, but that's not the right reason to do it. Right. But she got right with God, and he'd prayed for her, and the next day the doctors come, they test her three times. I can't get my finger up there. It's a lot easier with my right hand. Praise the Lord. And they come and test her three times, and the whole condition had gone. They tested her and made sure. And three times she come back negative. God had completely healed her body. Amen. And the family was excited about what God had done. And the mom comes in that night, talks to her daughter. She's like, well, this is great. And she's like, well, I gave my heart to the Lord, and God healed me, and that's great. And she tells her mom, Mom, get ready to go home. Right. She's like, well, yeah, you're healed. You go home and take care of your kids here. Tomorrow we'll get you out of the hospital. No, you don't understand. I'm going home tonight. It's like, what do you mean you've been healed? It's like, that's beside the point. The Lord spoke to me. It's my time to go home. And within an hour, she passed away. After being healed, amen? Yes, think right. About that. God's still the healer. Yes, sir. Amen? He didn't have to like make her sick and kill her, amen? He could heal her and then still take her, amen? Right. Now, think about that, but praise the Lord. And so, Brother Branham, he makes a statement here, if I can read it to you. He said, I don't know what caused me to do it. He said, but Lord God, you owe me an understanding. After what going out there and telling that husband, telling the Lord, after you'd done these things for him and all like that, and you take that girl's life like that. I said, you owe me an understanding. Brother Branham was so upset by the whole thing. He's like, God, you owe me an understanding. He said, when you tell God something like that, He'll just leave you sitting alone.
That's right. Yes, He will.
He don't owe me anything. I'm in debt to Him. Amen. He says, well, He just let me pout out for a few days, you know. Right. And after 3 or 4 months, stop. A few days, 3 or 4 months. Yeah. I was remarking on this the other evening. I was speaking about this a while back, and I said, you know, here's a prophet of God. He's seen visions from the time he's 3. Amen? He's seen visions every day. He lived in a supernatural realm.
Right.
Amen? He'd seen so many visions, he had to write them all down. He still couldn't write them all down. He had a whole book. A man lived in another world, and here all of a sudden, he takes an attitude of God, and it just stops.
Right.
Now, can you imagine that first day, living in the drought? Amen?
Yeah.
Second day, third day, days passed into weeks passed into months. And here he God wouldn't speak to him about it because he took an attitude with him about it. And now here's a man, he was born for this thing, all of a sudden he's just, what's going on? Boy, I tell you, that'd be, as hard as it was to deal with it when it was on him, think how hard it was to deal with it when that anointing was off of him, amen? He said, after 3 or 4 months, one day I was out at the creek and the Lord spoke to me in a vision. He said, now you go to her mother and say to her mother, did not her time come the year before that when she was drowned in a creek on a picnic? She should have went at that time. Amen. She had a time to go. Amen. But God prolonged it. Amen. Why? He says she should have went at the time, but I had to take her when she was ready to go. Amen. Again, God interested in that girl's soul. He prolonged her days so she could come to the time she got saved. And as soon as she got saved, guess what? She could be healed. Amen. She could get right with God. Amen. And then God could take her. Amen. And that's why all this happens and you went out there. Then I got down and cried. I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, your poor, stupid servant. I should have never said that, Lord. I've never been there. And I went back. Amen. We can stop now if you'd like. I've been there a couple times at least, I think. A couple thousand maybe. I went down to that lady. She lived over on Market Street. I went down and said, I want to ask you a question. She said, sure, Brother Bill. I said, is it true this girl almost drowned? She said, that's right, Brother Bram. Her husband, they had to go out on the creek and they had to use artificial respiration upon pressure and they had to get a machine to pump the water out of her. She had a skirt on. She was having a picnic. They went there and stepped in some sand. She slipped off her head and strangled in the water. They didn't notice her. And directly they seen her coming up and going up and going down. They run down and got her and brought her. She almost died. I said, that was her time to go. See, God knows what He's doing. And then He says this. Now, God probably would have told me that if I hadn't taken the attitude I did.
Right.
Lord, you want me to tell me anything about it? He don't owe you nothing. Notice His attitude. God would have told him about it if he just asked, but because he had an attitude about it.
Amen.
Well, God, this is awful. You shouldn't have done that. You owe me an explanation. Here, God was saving her soul.
That's right.
God was preserving her soul because He was more worried about her soul than her natural life. Amen.
Amen.
And he had taken an attitude. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, yes, he should have.
Yeah.
Amen. How many times does God do something and we get upset about it and say, well, you owe me an explanation, God. God, why am I going through this? And if you had the right attitude about it, God would show you it was for your good. Amen?
Amen.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen?
Yes,
see, we don't believe the promise. That's why we get an attitude about it.
Amen.
Well, God said He's a healer. God said He's a provider, but look where I'm at.
Yep.
Look at your attitude. Amen?
Yes,
amen. He'll leave you out for a few days. He might let you go for 3 or 4 months, amen? You kind of quit pouting over it, amen? I tell you what, my kids get upset and they pout. You just go sit down. You go cool off for a little bit, amen? Sometimes we get all worked up, amen? God's just trying to help you out. Oh, hallelujah. God's trying to help you out, amen? So many times as Christians, we struggle with this very fundamental principle. God is for you. Amen. Sometimes you think, why is God against you? Why is His hand against you? If God's hand was against you, you wouldn't be here today. God is for you. Amen.
Amen.
And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's love? It's God that justifies. Amen. Maybe this guy's got a problem with you. Maybe the church you're at, maybe you feel bad. Maybe you're sitting here today feeling condemned. But God has justified you. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died and rose again.
Right.
The very judge of the earth is the one that got you off the hook.
Amen.
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 If there's anybody's judgment you were worried about, it shouldn't be the person sitting next to you in the pew today.
Amen.
It shouldn't be the person at work. It shouldn't be your spouse. It shouldn't be your brother or sister. It shouldn't be mom or dad. What does Jesus say? Oh, hallelujah. I'm for you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. But our attitude... Our attitude to put God on the back burner where he's just going to wait like a gentleman because he's a gentleman, amen?
Right,
he ain't going to bust down the door and come in and be like, all right, you need to get this right. He'll be a gentleman. He'll wait. He's patient. Oh, man, is he patient? Why are we here today? Same reason that girl was there a year later. We count the long-suffering God as patience because God's not willing that any should perish. We count the long-suffering God as salvation, amen?
Amen.
Paul makes a statement here in Romans 8. He says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, no, it's not just mortifying the deeds of the flesh, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh,
Lord,
the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen.
Amen.
God, when he put the Holy Ghost in you, it wasn't so you'd be afraid of dying one day.
Amen.
And you'd worry and spend your whole life, oh, what can I do to make my life longer, and maybe I'll eat these pills. And I'm not saying not to take care of yourself now, amen. Amen. But not to try to escape death, amen. But to realize you've already escaped.
Amen.
You already overcome, amen. And even if the skin worms eat up this flesh, you're gonna see God, amen. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing that can stop you. Amen. That's why Brother Brenk said there's no such thing as death to a born-again Christian. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you've bypassed it. Amen. You've already passed. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, do we recognize today? On, we're not waiting for some sort of impending doom. Amen. He's not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Tell you what, if you go out today and you get hit by a car on the way and you die, guess what?
Woo! Amen.
Oh, Brother Bramley, he went to see Brother Bosworth when he's on his deathbed.
Right.
He said, Brother Bosworth, what was the best time of your life to serve God? Right now.
Yes,
right now, amen. What a different testimony than the world, amen.
Yes, sir.
When was the best time of your life? Right now, because I'm getting ready.
Amen.
Oh, just to think 5 minutes from then, he'd be seeing the Lord in glory. He'd be done with struggles. He'd be done with mind battles. He'd be done with sickness. He'd be done with trials. Amen. He'd be done serving God, and now he'd have a crown as a reward. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. An exciting time for him. Amen. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
Whereby you cry, Abba, Father.
Yes, Lord.
The spirit of adoption is giving you a voice of sonship to cry, Father. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, I find this interesting. Just to drop this in here, I find this interesting. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of adoption are the same thing, amen?
Yes,
when a man comes, he says, well, God can speak to me too. I've got a message. We don't need a prophet. We don't need a Malachi 4. And I look at their message, I ask myself, where's the adoption at?
Yeah.
Where's a man that preaches adoption? If the Spirit of God, if this is the last days, and the Spirit of God is going to give a message, it's going to give you a voice. It's going to provide an adoption, amen?
Yes,
this message isn't just a feel-good thing. Oh, I tell you what, you might eat that book and it might be bitter in your belly, amen.
Sure.
Oh, hallelujah, but it's a voice of adoption.
Amen.
To come up higher, is that right? Show me somebody else that preaches that.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I guess I take it as vindication, but you look at it how you want, amen. I just choose, God's the interpreter of his own word, amen.
That's right. Yes, he is.
God's spirit's the spirit of adoption, amen.
Hallelujah.
I was talking to a woman the other day, I believe I was working with her. I look out across the country. We live in a day and age where men are jellyfish, Brother Branham said. All right, men and women, they're jellyfish. They're spineless. We live in a country, and I thank God for people that serve, by the way, because we've had men. They've laid their lives down for liberty, amen? Rugged men, you look at George Washington and his men, they walked without shoes on in the winter. Amen? They suffered. They starved. They bled. They had frostbite. Why? Because they believed in something that they found something, amen? Let me say it this way. They found something worth dying for.
Yeah.
And if you've never found something worth dying for, you ain't never found nothing worth living for. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate our other veterans here, by the way. Amen. Our others that serve. Amen. These men, they were convinced. Amen. It wasn't just, well, we're going to go out and we're going to play Call of Duty. We're going to be war heroes. These men suffered for liberty. Amen. These men went through hardship.
Amen.
It wasn't a game. Amen. These people that do that, they're convinced that there's something worth dying for. Something greater than their own lives, amen? And now we have men, they used to raise your taxes. They laid their lives online. They tossed tea in the harbor. Now they raise taxes and we grumble about it and complain. And we just accept it, amen? We look at the liberties that we used to have in this country. And I'm not trying to preach politics this morning, okay? I'm not telling you how to vote or nothing. We look at the liberties we used to have. And I'm making a spiritual application out of this now. We used to have liberty in the Spirit, amen. Churches used to have liberty. They used to believe in the power of God. They used to believe in deliverance. They used to believe in joy in the presence of God, amen.
Yes,
but people, they gave up liberty. Why? Because they're afraid.
That's right.
The fear of bondage has put them in bondage, amen.
Yes,
Brother Branham tells us this nation rejected the gospel in 1956. They kicked prayer out of school. They kicked God out of the government. They kicked God out of everything else and out science and reasoning.
Yep.
Now we're at a place where there is no God. There's nothing, and now we're worried, amen, because we realize this is all we got.
Yeah.
And then we're just living for ourselves, and the end of us is the end of everything we believe in, amen.
Right.
So now we're willing to give up some freedom. We're willing to give up some liberty, and I'm bringing this into the church now, amen. We're willing to give these things up to preserve our denomination.
Amen.
We're willing to allow these things in the pulpit now because we, you know, of our church, amen. I heard this man the other day, he was saying if the churches of America don't accept homosexuality, they're doomed to perish. I'm thinking if a church that stands on the Word of God is going to perish, then it deserves to perish,
that's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Sure.
Let's be true to the Word, amen.
Yes.
Men that used to cry out against tyranny, amen.
Yes.
I think it was Ben Franklin. He said something about how do you say, they that are willing to give up liberty for temporary safety deserve neither. Is that right?
That's right.
We've given up liberty. Churches have given up liberty in the spirit. Amen. Why? Because they want safety. They want to feel safe. Because they're not so sure anymore about what happens afterwards. Amen. They want to feel safe. And when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. Amen. As a woman in travail, amen, they'll seek to hide. They've made a refuge of lies. They've made a covenant with death, but God's going to sweep it away. That's no place to hide, amen. Oh, hallelujah. They're looking to escape. Oh, well, if we could just make this country a little safer. The vision's already gone forth. Everywhere I looked, it was gone. It's destroyed, amen. It's perished, amen. She's doomed, amen. Oh, hallelujah, I'm thankful I got another citizenship, though, amen. I got another citizenship. In a day and age where, man, there's bombs everywhere that could blow us up at any moment, we have a refuge, amen. You're safer than the President of the United States today because you've got a band of angels, amen. One of them can whip an army, is that right? Oh, hallelujah, you're the safest people in the world today because you're hid in a city of refuge. Your life is hid with Christ and God today, amen. You don't have to worry. Death doesn't change you. It just changes your dwelling place. Is that right? Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, I was thinking about that. Then people the whole country, a whole nation going to perish. As bad as that sounds, they're actually better off than everybody else is stuck being alive. Amen. They're going to go through tribulation like the world's never seen. They'll seek to die. Oh, if we could be like them blown up people, they'll seek to die. They won't be able to find it. They'll look for death. It'll be nowhere to be found. They said, oh, let the mountains fall on us. Hide our face. Let us die, and they won't be able to find it. And it's the judgment of God, the thing they were afraid of their whole life. Now they're looking for it. Let us die. It'd be better than this, amen? And the judgment of God won't allow them to die. Now, there's another man one time. God wouldn't let him die either. By the name of William Branham, amen? But it wasn't judgment on him. It was mercy for you and me. Because we had to hear his message. Is that right? He looked to shoot himself. He looked to grab the pile, and then death fled from him. Hey, amen. There's a man. It was mercy for you and I, amen, because we needed that, amen. Why? Because what was happening? Men, they're so afraid of death, and they don't realize that's not the problem. Amen. He has the keys of death and hell. Is that right? But it's spiritual death. Don't be afraid of him that can destroy your body only. Amen. They're so afraid of the natural death, they don't realize they're already dead in their sins. They're dead while they yet walketh, amen. And God had to give a message for a revival of your soul, amen, that you would bypass, amen. It's not so much the natural death I'm worried about today, amen, but spiritual death is everywhere you go. You pick up the newspaper, you walk into churches, and there's spiritual death everywhere, amen. It's blocking out the whole thing, oh, but God had a hand. Oh, in the days of Moses, took the blood into that prophet's hand. He sprinkled that blood seven times. Oh, look, there was a messenger through each church age, but in this Laodicean age, God had to have a prophet to sprinkle that blood one more time. Amen. That hand struck light because where the light is, that's where the blood is. Amen. When you're walking in the light, the blood cleanses you from all sin. Is that right? Oh, God had a hand. And he wasn't saving William Branham's life to save William Branham. He was saving his life to save us. To give us life, amen, because he cared about you. Amen. He cared about you enough to give you a message, amen. Amen. Oh, man that lost his wife. Man that lost his daughter. He lost everything precious to him other than his son. Here he is. He's the city that they look at him as a fanatic, and he's just this little old whatever, and people treat him however, and yet he couldn't die for your sake.
Thank you, Lord God.
Wondering why is this happening to me?
Yep, hit it.
Now, I love it because of his attitude there. It was the right attitude, amen?
Yes,
I love how he said it. He said, I was going now. He said, he says this, and who do you say this is, 53. He says, I remember one day after I'd lost my wife, my baby, my father, my brother, wife and baby died a few hours apart. He says, I was walking up the road with a pair of boots on. It was right after the 37th flood. He said, the state senator of Indiana, Mr. Eisler, which was a member of my church, I was going along crying. Said, I drove up in his car. He drove up in his car and stopped, jumped out, and put his arm around me. He said, Billy? Yes, Mr. Eisler. Said, what do you think about him now? Said, I love him.
Amen.
Said, I couldn't do nothing else but love him.
Right.
My whole makeup has become a part of him.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Look, it wasn't a feel-good gospel to entertain him.
Right, brother.
Or to give him some sort of intellectual security. His makeup had changed.
Yes.
The very DNA of his spirit was rearranged to a point where, what can I do but love him? I even if I didn't want to, I couldn't stop. Amen. There was something that had got a hold of him to such a place. Look, it's easy to praise God when everything's going good. Amen. I'll say amen if you don't want to say it. Oh, but when afflictions come, you're like Job. Oh, thanks for mentioning Job, by the way. He's I still got him on the ash heap, I guess. When things are like Job's situation, there was something about him. He said, my whole makeup's been changed. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Where else am I going to go? Who else has the words of life? I've burned every bridge. I've given up all. I what can I say? I still love him.
That's right.
My, I tell you what. He said, I couldn't. He says, and then he said, after he took your wife and baby, I said, no matter what he'd do, if he turned me down with a judgment and said I wasn't worthy to enter in, he's right.
Amen.
If there's no such, he said, if there's such thing as hell having love, I'd still love him there.
Amen.
For what he's been to me, if he turns me down, he's still righteous. I deserve it. All of us deserve it. His words are true. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was listening to this man. He was debating with these atheists, and he's a professor. I think his name's John Lennox. Everybody ever heard of him or not? But he said that these atheists come up and they give him a hard time. He said, well, you Christians, all you are is, he said, you're like a child that's afraid of the dark. That's why you're a Christian. You're afraid of the dark. He said, well, then you guys are like children that are afraid of the light. Amen. See, it's easier for them to believe there's not going to be a judgment. They're not going to have to answer. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Look, I'm not serving God. Amen. Let me say this. I'm not serving God anymore. I've gotten past the point where I'm afraid of dying. Amen. Frankly, I feel like Paul some days. The sooner the better. Amen.
Yep. Sure.
I got a wife and kids. I hope they're all right. But I mean, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Right.
I'm not clinging to this mortal life anymore. Amen. Man, the sooner I can lay it down, the faster I get in the presence of God. Amen.
Sure.
I'm not at the point where I'm trying to escape hell anymore.
Right.
Not at the point where I'm trying to get away from dying. Amen. But I hope this is our testimony. This is the prophet's testimony. If he sends me to hell, amen. If he says at the end of it all, you know what, depart from me, he was still worthy.
Amen.
If I knew that today, I'd still serve him the rest of the time. I'd still love him. Amen. Because it's no longer about what he's done for me. It's about who he is. And who he is who I am. Amen. That love in his life, that love divine, it's taken residence in me. It's changed my whole makeup. Amen. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Oh, and if he'd kick me on the way down, I'd kiss his feet on the way down. Amen. I've gotten past a place where I'm worried about condemnation. Amen. But now it's him and me shut away in a secret place. Amen. Oh, I remember a long time ago, I was preaching at Brother Craig Boober's church, and I made a statement. Amen. I said, if hell was a golden city, 1,500 miles high, streets of gold and crystal rivers and everything else, mansions in hell, if heaven was just a cardboard box and a mud hole in Jesus, where would you want to go?
Yeah, brother.
Would you still want to go to heaven?
Why?
If the gold cities and all that stuff were down here, amen?
Yeah, brother.
Would you still want to go there, amen? What are we working for?
Amen.
What are we after, amen? Because look, that's the promise of denomination. Well, you serve us this way, and we'll give you heaven, you'll be fine. God's going to give you a new house, he's going to give you a new car, he's going to bless you, and you're going to be a big shot, amen?
Right.
Oh, but to go with the Lord's despised few, amen? To get to a place where you're so shut in, where if you have no other reward, I'm going to see Jesus.
Amen.
I don't need my crown, I don't need my harp, just let me see his face. Let me look at him for 1,000 years, amen? Oh, just let me get to see Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all the reward I'm looking for, amen. I'm not saying there are not other rewards, amen, but that's what I'm after, amen.
Amen.
Look, denomination promises you all the glitz and glamour, amen. Are you going to chase after that? Are you going to chase after the Lord, amen?
Lord.
Oh, Brother Branham was in Tulsa one day, and he's at Oral Roberts University. He had 500 IBM machines, and he said they had a conveyor with money just coming in on the conveyor. They're printing his letters up. He says he never even touches his own mail. He walked out, and he seen Tommy Osborne's place. Said, look at these great men there. I'm thankful, Lord, they're inspired by my ministry, but look at how great these men have become. He said, look at me. I just got a little old bitty typewriter and $100 a week and in my little trailer. And he began to say, like some of us, he said, well, maybe I'm just not intelligent enough for it, Lord. Maybe that's why. Maybe you couldn't trust me with all that money. Maybe that's why I'm in this place. Amen.
Sure.
Ah, but the Lord spoke. It's so beautiful when God speaks. Amen. He said, I am your portion.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Abram, I am your exceeding great reward. Amen. Oh, look, Abraham's greatest reward was to know that he was his reward. Amen. Oh, look, I'm thankful for a mansion somewhere. Amen. I'm thankful for a city with streets of gold. I'm thankful to think about a new Bible, but oh, to see Jesus. That's my portion. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Amen. But to know that I'm going to see Jesus one day makes it all worthwhile. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what. Don't fall into the trap of empty promises. Amen. Look, there's a man in the Bible. 2 Samuel 6 talks about him by the name of David. We all know the story of David. They got the ark one day, and they're going to bring it back to Jerusalem. And he decided, well, you know what? It'd be easier if we just use an ox cart to bring this thing back. Now, the Levites were the only ones supposed to carry it. And Brother Bram, I love how I'm going to read this to you. It's out of God trying to do a service 65. He says here, he says, notice by doing this, he caused the death of a sincere man. Putting his hand on the ark when he shouldn't have done, a great, sincere man. Amen? Think the anointing and everything was just right, but the ark was moving in the wrong way. The oxen, the Bible said, stumbled. Not the Levites. The oxen stumbled and the cart was being pitched over. And a sincere man, with a heart full of love, put his hand upon the ark to hold it back and was stricken dead. Because no man could touch the ark but a Levite. See how God keeps His word, keeps His channel. He says here, keeps His order. Amen. Tell you what, there's some men that came out of Egypt with Moses. Hey, man, said, well, God can speak through us too. We got a message. We got this. They never met a burning bush.
That's right.
Amen. They never been on the backside of the desert. That's why the prophet says that no man has a right in the pulpit. Amen. So he's met that fire in the backside of the desert. Is that right? So he's met God on those sacred sands. And we've got men today. They'll stand in the pulpit and they'll run, but they were never sent. They've got a message to preach, but God always keeps His channel, amen? Look, there was a Balaam on the scene, and Brother Bram said he was just as fundamental as Moses. Is that right? He had seven altars. He had seven rams. He had all seven. But God had vindicated Moses as a prophet. That he's the man with the message, amen? Oh, hallelujah. There's a man with a message, an adoption message. Not just to take you out of Egypt, but to take you into a land. Oh, but look, there's giants there. What are we going to do with the giants? Don't matter to God. What matters is the promise. Amen. It don't matter if your problem today is a toothache or cancer. It's the same before God. Oh, hallelujah. Give us men like Joshua and Caleb. Let's say, give me my mountain. I don't care how old I get. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care if nobody else wants to go with me. I'm going in. Why? Because I heard what the prophet said. He promised me a mountain, and I'm getting a mountain. He promised me a token. Oh, hallelujah. Listen. Look, you had some good churchgoers down there in Goshen. Is that right? Look, they've been in church their whole lives. Look, they love to tell everybody, we're the children of Abraham. Amen. But look, unless they had a token on their house. Amen. Look, I'm not looking today to see what your lineage is or your church history. Is there blood on the door today? That child, he could go up to daddy and say, daddy, the death angel's going through. There's death everywhere. It's a spirit of death. Amen. Look, they were worried about their firstborn when Pharaoh made a cry, but now the angel's coming through. He didn't care whether you were Egyptian or Hebrew or whatever. Amen. The spirit of death, the angel of death's coming around. And that boy said, daddy, what are we going to do? And look, daddy didn't have to get the shotgun out. He didn't have to wave a rosary around or put the turn the alarm on at night. Amen. They said, look, I did what Moses said. Moses said, put the blood on the door and the post. I did what he said. We're going to be fine, son. Look, that little boy might have worried, but daddy was fine. Amen. He was eating his roasted lamb, eating his herbs, had his shoes on his feet. Because he knew his exodus was the next thing to come. Amen. He knew by the morning. Woo! I tell you what. At the rising of the sun. When the sun rose, they weren't going to be slaves anymore. They weren't going to be stuck in Egypt anymore. They were walking out. And let me tell you this, they were taking every hoof. They weren't going to leave a hoof behind. They were taking all their kids. They were taking all their substance. Amen. They weren't just taking all their stuff. They were taking all Egypt's stuff too. Amen. Right. Amen. They were taking Egypt's gold and Egypt's riches. Pharaoh got to such a place where he said, please leave. Amen. It's easier for me if you're not here anymore. We'll find somebody else to build my monuments. We'll find somebody else to build my temples. Please go away. Amen. My life here is harder because of you. Oh, let us have such a testimony today.
Amen.
As Christians in this end time.
Yes.
Till the devil says, please take them off the scene. Amen. Let them have a rapture. It's easier for me if they're not here. Amen.
Amen.
Look, that's why he's the one today. He knows he's got a short time. Amen.
Amen.
He don't want you around anymore.
Oh, right.
Amen. Because you, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, because you serve the one that's got the keys to his house.
Amen.
The devil don't have the keys to his own house anymore. When he's splashing spiritual death everywhere, and he's trying to come in, he needs a buffer.
Amen.
Oh, look, it's not Brink Security, amen. It's not a 12-gauge shotgun, amen, but there's a token there,
amen.
Oh, hallelujah, God's giving you a token message today, amen, to save you from spiritual death, amen. Look, your body's going to be saved. That's great. That's fine. But more than that, that soul. Because that soul is worth 10,000 worlds to God. Amen. That's what matters to God the most. 10,000 worlds, one soul. God said, I'm going to send a token message. That's why he couldn't let a prophet die. Thousands of worlds are hanging in the balance. Amen. Thousands and thousands and millions of worlds. Souls are hanging in the balance. Amen. God couldn't permit it for your sake. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The world, is that right? He says here, oh, I got off my quote, sorry. He says here, Uzziah was smitten with leprosy. Here's David, altogether caused the death of this man in a great disaster, being anointed with the Spirit, both of them, but out of God's channel. Is that right? He died. Oh, it scared David to death. He called the name of the place, his brother Jack read, I believe it was Prez Uzziah. Means the breach of Uzziah. See, they marked him there. Now watch, the prophet brings it right down. He says, now how many times has denominations done the same thing? To sincere believers. Amen. I don't doubt, but there's many sincere people. Look, Cain was sincere. Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying not be sincere. Amen. See, that's the people I feel bad for. Because there's Pharisees that aren't sincere. And they've got a key. And not only do they not go in, but they keep people that would have went in out. Sincere believers, amen. That's why we got to preach the gospel, amen. Look, we don't do people a favor by watering down the gospel. Let me tell you that right now, amen. Well, I go to church. Well, I pay my tithes. Well, I do this. I work this, and I donate my time here. That's nice. That's good, brother. But look, you can give your whole body to be burned. You can give your goods to the poor. If you have not charity, profits you nothing, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you what. Now I'm going to get my other sermon that I was going to preach. Amen. What changed it, Brother Ram said? Experience. Amen. We used to have experience with God. Now we've got experience with man's ideas. We've got experience with dominations. We're trying to line up with that. I'm not trying to get God's word to line up with my experience or my thought. Well, you know, that blood on the door looks a little, honestly, it looks kind of shoddy. Amen. That's a nice door. I paid a lot of money for that door. Amen. I've invested a lot of my life into this fine door. Maybe if I just put it on the bottom or on the inside, amen. No, that wouldn't hold the death angel out, though, amen.
Right,
well, you know, we're beyond, you know, getting happy about the Lord. You know, we're smarter than that.
Yeah.
We don't need to praise God anymore.
Right.
You know, we've got the Word.
Yes,
well, if you got the Word, then you got the Spirit, amen.
Yeah.
The Word and the Spirit are one, amen. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, he said, be not drunk with wine in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That Greek word filled, it's a verb. It's filled and being filled. Amen?
Yeah.
It's like a man breathing. His lungs are filled and they're filled again. It's always being filled over again. It's like breathing. Amen?
Amen.
It's supposed to be so natural. Look, I didn't have to teach my kids how to breathe. Amen?
That's right.
A lot of other things I didn't have to teach them either. Amen? But I didn't have to teach them how to breathe. Amen? They did that all on their own because they're alive.
Amen.
They're alive, so they breathe, amen.
Glory.
If they weren't breathing, I'd be worried. I'd be doing this, amen. Look, there's people today in church, they're not breathing, amen. They're not being filled. Oh, well, I got the Holy Ghost 30-some years ago. What about today?
Amen.
What's your experience today, amen? Look, they were in that desert for a long time, amen. Look, what's your testimony today, amen?
Amen.
Them men in the book of Acts, when they started to get a little afraid, guess what? They said, fill her up, Lord.
Amen.
They pulled up to the pump and they had an unlimited account because it's without money or without price.
Right.
They filled her right back up again. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you know, we don't believe that you have to shout to have the Holy Ghost. We believe you don't have to speak in tongues and this and that. Well, it don't mean you can't. Yeah. Amen. I'll buy a pair of shoes and my tongues are missing. I'm worried about it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm just saying. Is that right? That's a package deal to me. Amen. Yeah. Well, we don't have to do these things. Well, I guess you don't have to serve God either. Amen. But why wouldn't you? I don't have to be healed to go to heaven, but why not? I don't like being sick. Amen. Well, I guess you could be miserable like this brother and go to heaven. Man, I'd rather go in with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Man, it's about your attitude towards, I love how Brother Bam talks about in 3rd Exodus. He says when you do that with healing and tongues and stuff in prophecy, he says you cut off the lifeline. It's the word he said. Amen. Somewhere we got away from the manifestation of God. Not just in miracles and signs, but in action, Brother Ram says. Where our very lives are like them prophets of old. Where they acted out the very prophecy in the life where they're laying on their side and they're carrying yokes, amen. It acted out in their own life. It so prevailed over their will and their being till it moved them in their very daily action, amen. Oh, filled and being filled with the Spirit. How? Singing to yourselves. In Psalms, we don't need worship. We got the Word. Well, Paul said you better start singing. Not just at church. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody where? In your heart. Amen. Well, I can't hit a lick in the button. Well, I sound pretty good when I think, when I'm in my heart, I sound pretty good. You know, if I hear myself on a recording, I might not feel so good about it. Amen. Well, look, he wasn't worried about this. He's worried about this. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. It becomes like breathing because you're alive. It's just something you do. Amen. I almost marvel that Paul put it down like, he's teaching them how to breathe. I'm like, they ought to know. You ever just see it so happy in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You just start singing, you act a little crazy. Somebody walk by, they probably think you're nuts. They say, that man lost his mind. He sure did. Yes, found the mind of Christ. Amen. Yes. Hey, let them call you crazy. They're going to call you Holy Roller. Anyhow, might as well get started now. Amen. Oh, he says, I've got to finish this quote up. He says, the Catholic Church, the Methodist, the Baptist Church of Christ, even the Pentecostals, has caused many a spiritual death with the same thing. When it comes with these things, they found they can't go no further because that's what their denomination believes. I wonder how many people in the message do that.
Yes, sir.
Well, we were taught this way, and this is what we know, and we just know it all now. Well, tell you what, that's good to hear, brother. I'm really excited about that, but, you know. What's the fruit of it, amen?
Yeah, exactly.
Knowledge puffs up.
Yes, sir.
Love edifies, amen?
Yeah, right.
Well, we got it all figured out. What Brother Bram said, just figure yourself wrong. You think you got it all figured out.
That's right.
He says, look, today the big crusades, the same thing. They don't do nothing but make them a twofold child of hell, worse than they were in the first place. Makes them harder, really, to come to the truth.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
And I tell you what, Andrew will back me up on this, I know at least, because you go witness to people or something like that, and you find somebody that's never been in church, never known, never been taught a certain way, and you start talking about servancy, you start talking about the Bible. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I know it makes sense. I agree. But you get somebody there who are taught a certain way for 40 years, and you try to show them something simple like water baptism.
Yeah, right.
Brother Bram says in the church, they book don't even take a revelation, he said.
Right.
And they are, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, my pastor, my bishop, my priest, I was taught this way. Can you imagine Peter and James and John? They sat in the synagogue and they were taught, Jesus comes, we're going to roll out the red carpet, and he's going to put down the Romans. Yep. Amen. He's going to take care of all this. And when Messiah comes, it's going to be this way, and he's going to say, we Pharisees, we're the best. And here he comes rebuking them all, coming riding in, totally contrary to their denominational thought. Amen. And he asked, well, who do men say I am? Well, they were looking at the denominational idea. Well, you might be this prophet, you might be that one. There is a man there by the name of Peter.
Uh-huh.
And in flesh and blood did not reveal this one to him, but something else said that's the Christ,
amen,
the Son of the living God. Amen. How we've gotten away today from the need for revelation. When I say revelation, I don't mean a concept intellectually. Amen. Because people take their idea and say it's revelation. Amen.
Right.
But when there's something born in the heart of a man, something that changes his very makeup, changes the way he behaves. Amen. When he's met that fire on the backside of the desert. Look, yeah, I might not fit in with your theology, amen.
Right.
But Moses didn't care.
Right.
He'd done seen it with his own eyes.
Right.
Look, you could try and explain this away, and you could try and explain that away, but look, I'd done seen it, amen.
Right.
Oh, I tell you what, them That man there in John 9 was born blind, and then you could see, and they're asking, well, how'd this happen? He's like, well, you know sinners can't do this. Yeah. Go ask them yourself. Go see yourself. The man had experience. He said, all I can say. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. All I can say is I once was blind, and now I see. Yeah. Look, it might not fit in with your teaching. Right. You might not like it. It might not be popular. Look, all I can say is I'm looking right at you. You're wearing that. You look like that. The door's there. I don't know what you want me to say about it. Look, you can make fun of this message all you want. You can put it down, but all I can say, I once was blind, but now I see, amen. The Bible's become a new book to me. When I read Christ, it's in every scripture. If it's not, I go back and read it again, amen. Oh, hallelujah, it's different, amen. It's an unveiling of God. Not out there somewhere with a Hubble telescope. It's unveiled right here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, that you bypass spiritual death, amen. That he that liveth and believeth shall never die, amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I was reading the Seasons Not of Earth of Shuck the other day, and Brother Bram's talking about a hawk, how they're soft now. How they, you know, they used to catch their prey, but now they don't. He said, eagles aren't like that because they can fly. They catch something alive. He said, that hawk, they're soft. He said, something like some of these Christians, amen. They're soft. They don't want to serve God anymore. Wednesday night prayer meeting comes. When's the last time?
Come on, brother.
Prayer meeting came, and they only had, you know, they had to get off and stop the prayer meeting, so they go home and watch We Love Lucy. Is that right?
Yep.
I was listening to a brother, one of these older pastors. He's passed away now, but I was listening to something he said. They used to have prayer meetings every week. They'd get together, and they'd pray for this person's family. They'd get to pray for this need in the church. They'd get together, and they'd pray, and God would do stuff.
Sure,
he said so many of these churches stopped having prayer meetings because nobody'd show up. Why? Because the revival died down, amen. There was no revival like that family. They're in and out, in and out. Well, man, they're having a big old thing going on at church. We're going to show up.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, we got some little hillbilly scrub from Ohio preaching today. Well, we're just going to stay home. Having prayer meeting tonight, we ain't got time for that. But a man that's got revival in his soul, amen.
Glory.
He's not dead. He's not spiritually. He's revived. He's alive. Is that right?
Yeah.
Look, this message come to give you revival.
Amen.
Not a protracted meeting, not a great crusade, amen. But in your own life, amen. Look, I'm convinced today the reason people live without revival is because they're willing to.
Yes, right.
It's not because God doesn't give it. It's because they are willing to live without it.
Amen.
If you're living today in a lull, if you're missing the presence of God, you said, oh, I don't have revival in my life. It's because you choose to be there today. Amen. Because God's given revival today. He's given the Holy Ghost today. He's given joy today. Amen. The question is, are you willing to reach out and grab it? Amen. He gave you a message so you bypass not just a natural death, but spiritual death. Amen? Because that's the thing that's the enemy today. Amen?
Yes, sir.
That we're worried about. I'm not worried about it. Amen? But they should be worried about it out there.
Yes, sir.
They're so caught up in trying to preserve their natural life, and they miss the true enemy is right where they're sitting.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Right.
Brother Bram said in desperation, said the signs of his coming should throw every member of Christ into desperation now about our souls. But our welfare for hereafter. What are you going to amount to if you gain the whole world? He said. What are we living for? What do you work for? What are you eating for? What are you struggling for to live? What are you living for to die?
Right.
You're not fit to live until you're fit to die, he said. It's true. Like I said, if you ain't found nothing worth dying for, you don't have anything worth living for. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Death. Death is this, it's an alien thing to us. Amen. It's no longer something that's it's lost its hold, amen. Look, you say, well, I ain't raised no dead this week. Yeah, but you serve one.
Amen.
He never preached a funeral.
That's right.
You serve one. He went down and he took the keys of hell and death and kicked him right in the
That's
chest.
Right.
Is that right? You serve one that has died and rose again.
Amen.
You serve one today that death has no dominion over him any longer, amen. And you have your life has been hid with him. You have been crucified with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Nevertheless, you live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. Oh, today we are alive not to walk in the oldness of the letter, but in newness of life. Today we have life and it abundantly. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Look, that's why Paul said, I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to show you a mystery. Oh, I love mysteries. Amen. Oh, I love the deep preaching. I'm going to show you a mystery. Why? That you sorrow not as others. Who have no hope, amen.
Yeah.
They're hopeless. They're living to die, amen. But you're living to live again.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. You're living in such a place, amen. We shall not all sleep, hallelujah.
Amen.
But we shall all be changed.
Yes.
In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, that's change you can believe in, amen. That's real change right there, amen. That ain't no pocket change. That's the changing of a body, amen. There's something you can tie your soul to, amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, just think about it, amen. We're running a race. We're on the last leg. They hand you the baton, Brother Andrew. They say, this is the last part of the race. Ain't nobody coming after you. Run the race with patience. Push, press the battle. Don't give up now.
Yeah.
Look, we're surrounded. Look, your loved ones, they aren't 5,000 million miles away, amen? They're right here, just moving a little faster, amen?
Yeah.
You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
They're watching your life. And they're not going, boo.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hold you. I say, go a little further.
Yeah.
We're waiting for you, amen?
Amen?
We need you to finish the race so we can all win.
Yes.
Oh, don't go. Oh, my legs are getting tired. Man, I tell you, if you ever run like me, you don't get very far. You're running, you're getting tired. Your legs are getting weak, you're sweating. You say, man, I don't feel like I have the strength I used to have. And then you look up and you see the finish line.
Amen.
You've got daddy waiting across the way. You've got mama waiting over there. There's no, come on, son. Just a little further.
Amen, amen.
You got Paul over there. You got Arrhenius. You got all the saints saying, come on, little bride. Right there's the finish line. You feel strength. Come on, I can push it just a little more. Look, I don't care if I pass out at the end as long as I cross the line. Oh, they're rooting for you today. They're for you. They're cheering you on. Come on, we need you to win this one. We need this one. Take one for the team. Amen. Come on, just a little more. I know it hurts right now. I know you're not feeling good. Just go a little further. Amen. I'm looking to see people, amen. Look, I'm going to watch them walking around, amen. Show me another message that preaches that, amen. They're coming back for me.
Amen.
Say, good job. We won.
Amen.
We made it, amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a big rally. We're going to have a wedding supper, amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on, let's go sit down. Oh, we're going to have a good old time. Oh, you're crying now, you're weeping, but he's going to take his hand himself. He'll wipe away every tear. He'll say, well done. You've finished the race. You've kept the faith, amen? You're going to see your loved ones. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I have any loved ones waiting for me. I'll see Jesus, amen? If he's the only one I'm going to see, I'm still going, amen? They're waiting. They're cheering you on today. The final enemy. Oh, how Paul said in Romans, I believe 16th chapter, he said that he shall put Satan under your feet shortly. The promise made to the woman in the garden will be fulfilled in you.
Amen.
That you will bypass physical death. Just as you bypass death in the spirit,
right.
You in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, will change, amen?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, this corruption. It shall put on incorruption.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. This mortal, this frail, this weak and sickly, this thing that agonizes you, and it gives you mind battles, and it challenges you every day of your life, and you look in the mirror and say, why did God have to make me look like that? Why did God make me act that way? Why am I in this? This thing that you struggle with so much, this is your greatest enemy. It's like I said before, some people's greatest enemy is apparently William Branham. Amen? They think he's their greatest enemy. They think the devil or this, that. You're your own greatest enemy. Oh, but there's a deliverance. Look, they're not a million miles away. Brother Branham, look back a few feet. Oh, look, you're running, but your theophany is just a few steps away. Oh, well, how long is it going to be, brother? I don't know. Oh, but I know this. My redemption is closer now than it's ever been before. Oh, hallelujah. Don't give up yet. Man, you look back and see nobody else has even started in the race. Don't give up now. If you give up right at the end, you've lost just as much as those people. Don't give up now. You got family waiting for you. And people you miss, they're saying, come on. Don't give up now. You did all that work. You ran that long. Why would you stop now?
Sure. Man. Glory to Jesus.
Don't sorrow with others. They don't have hope.
Hallelujah.
There's no crown. Look, many around, but there's only one that gets a crown.
Yeah.
Right. Ours is an incorruptible crown. We have an inheritance. It's reserved. It fades not away. It's reserved for you in the heavens. Amen.
Oh,
you're going to see your loved ones walking around. They ain't going to be old anymore.
No.
You're not going to be old anymore.
No.
They're not going to be sick. And you're not going to be sick. Amen.
Thank you,
let's stand to our feet. They're going to come back. You're going to be shaking hands. Oh, I think of Abraham and Sarah walking around Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
How they've seen all these people. hey, this is my great-grandchild, my great-great this, my great-great-great-great this, and that just, it's a big old family reunion. How many's going to the family reunion?
Yes,
amen. Amen. Family of God.
Yes.
Just a little further, amen.
Amen.
Don't stop now.
Yes, Lord.
Well, I don't know if I can make it. I'm sick. God got to take care. He takes care of that too, amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, he will.
Well, I just don't have my joy. I can't run like I used to. God will give you a new, he'll give you a new fire, amen.
Amen.
God reignite our zeal,
yes,
our passion today.
Amen.
Like it was when we first got saved and we started the race. We ran so fast. We ran so strong. We believed every word. Amen. We weren't ashamed. We weren't afraid. And you hit a couple bumps through. Maybe I better not run that fast. Well, maybe God doesn't keep every promise. Maybe some of that was just for them old runners. No, God's still the same. Amen. Still the same world. Still the same race. Still the same Jesus. Still the same gospel. Amen. He still shows the future. He still heals the broken past. Amen. He's still the one that gives the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Just like he did at the day of Pentecost. Amen.
Amen.
And that's your baton. That's your token today. Amen.
Thanks.
That your enemy's a defeated enemy today.
Amen.
I'm going to win the race.
Amen.
You know what? I'm carrying the baton.
Yes.
Amen.
Nobody can win it but me. I got the baton. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads.
Lord. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus, today,
Lord.
Lord.
Lord,
our lives, we just humbly submit them to you now, Father. Lord, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice that we might prove what is your good, acceptable, and perfect will, Father. Desiring to see it proven in our lives, we submit ourselves as a sacrifice. Lord, to run this race. Lord, because we're not running it for just ourselves. We've got children today here, we're running it for our children. We've got wives and husbands today, we're running it for them. We're running it for the people that have passed on, knowing that they without us are not made perfect. Oh, Lord, let us run the race with patience. Lord, may our patience not falter. May our zeal not die.
Yes, Father.
May you strengthen us, Lord. Father, you taught us the right way to breathe. We know how to breathe when we're running, Father, that we could stay strong. Lord, that we could have power to overcome, to endure to the end. Father, we see so many, they've dropped out of the race, Lord. Others, they've never even started, Father. May we not give up. May we encourage others to join in, Father. May we lead people to that finish line where you're waiting for us to hear you say, well done. Here's a crown for you. Here's your portion in glory. Here's your loved ones. They're your inheritance, your offspring. I give them to you as an inheritance. Oh, Lord, today, may we not be ashamed of this token. May we not hide it in the mailbox or put it under the bushes or put it on the sidewalk. May we put it on the door on display,
Lord.
That I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, Lord, we're not ashamed of this life today. We're not ashamed of that power that bought our souls when we were dead in sins and trespasses, Father. We're not ashamed of you, Father, because if we are ashamed of you, Lord Jesus, you said you'd be ashamed of us. But we've not denied the faith. We've kept the faith. We're running the race. We're ready, Lord. Whether it's now or later, we're ready to go. We've unpacked our bags, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We've laid aside every weight that would weigh us down so that we could run better. Because we want to get to the finish line. We're not content to just be in the lead. We have to finish the race.
Yes, Father.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Lord, may we not get an attitude that we're predestined, we're special, we've got it, this one's in the bag. Lord, may we seek to apprehend that for which we've been apprehended. May we cross the line today. May we enter into that place, Father. Even as our souls have already entered in, Father, as our lives are hid in Christ. Lord, for each one here today, I pray you'd give us a newness to walk in, Father. May you refresh us with the presence of the Holy Ghost.
Father.
There's one here today, maybe they're running low, Father. May they be refilled in the Spirit, Father. May they receive your Spirit again, Father. May they be refreshed. Lord, may they come to such a place of desperation where they're no longer willing to live without revival.
Yes,
they're no longer willing to live in a wilderness,
Lord,
but they say,
God,
I want to enter in. I want something more than this mortal life. I want something more than the things I've tried to substitute. The devil's given us entertainment. He said that's joy, and he tried to make us substitute, but may we have that real joy today. That in the midst of adversity, we would not sorrow. We would not falter. We would hold on. Jesus. Knowing that you're holding on to us. Knowing that our entire makeup has been changed.
Praise you, Lord.
That we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'm looking. I have people I'm looking to see, Lord. Oh, Lord, just as I was thinking of the night, Lord, it was a deliverance for me. Lord, I pray it's a deliverance for somebody here today. I have people I'm looking to see.
Yes, Father.
I have people that are going to come up and ask me how I made it. Moses, and Isaiah, family, loved ones. They're going to want to know how we finished the race. I'm thankful for one that stood in the gap in this day that passed the baton on. I'm thankful for light when there was total darkness, Father.
Yes.
I thank you for this message.
Thank you,
I thank you for your goodness to us.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name, amen. Let's, I don't know what key I want this in, but sing that song, Let the Death Angel Pass.
Try it.
Give me G, please.
The Lord spoke to Moses. In Goshen,
what to say? To the children of Israel, in Goshen that day, slay the lamb, take the blood, strike the post at the door. I'll pass through Egypt this night, set all the firstborn. Let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last.
Let the death angel pass.
worship him now.
In the token he gave, that we would be saved.
Aren't you grateful?
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. The blood's been applied, his spirit abides. Let the death angel pass.
Dad, just play it soft. Let's just worship him a little while your own way. Praise your glorious name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you grateful tonight for the God that was there when you were sick? That was there when you were lost, when you were confused, when you didn't have a friend, you still had a friend that was sticking closer than a brother. You got some words you could share with him now. Say, Lord Jesus, it don't matter what my neighbor's doing. I ain't worried about the pastor. I got something to say to you. I don't have to be afraid of death no more, Lord. Thank you. I don't have to have a fear of being alone. I'm never by myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Sometimes I think we forget why we come here. We came here to worship our God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. With a heart, grateful hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over.
He's here now.
For my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Let him have the preeminence.
My rest.
Don't let it be another service, brother, sister. Let God move on your heart.
I see.
You don't have peace, get peace today. Hallelujah.
His spirit sweep.
Oh, what a presence. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Rise in faith now. We're in heavenly places. Sweep. Oh, believe it together. Don't let any doubt come in. Sweep. Oh, this is the God you've waited on.
Sweet.
Thank you, Lord.
Sweep over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
My rest.
It's complete. It's finished.
While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can we all bow our heads in his presence now, each one? I'm not asking you to respect me. I'm asking you to respect him that's in the building now. Brother, sister, we're living in a late age, a dark age. And if you got sense enough to know right and wrong, I want you to take a minute right now. Say, Father, if I'm not in the faith, it's not your fault. It's me, Lord. If I don't have peace, Lord, it's not your fault. He's rose up early. He sent us prophets. He sent us words. He's done it time and time again. If we don't believe that, he'll send a pastor. If you don't believe that, he'll send an evangelist. If you don't believe that, he'll talk on a billboard driving down the road. If you don't believe that, he'll let a Bible just happen to be sitting somewhere that when you're walking on the shop. Brother, sister, you are without excuse tonight. Let's please bow your heads, please. No looking around. Hallelujah. This ain't about you and your brother, your sister, your mama, daddy. This is about you and Jesus right now. And brother, I want you to take a minute. And if you find yourself in sin, you find yourself ain't walking in the truth, and you want to raise your hands, not there ain't nobody looking around right now. You want to raise your hands to God and say, Father, you know my heart, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you, but I just need help. I need somebody to come deliver my heart. I need the peace that I've never had. I believe it, Lord. I believe it with all my heart, but can you come quicken my faith today that there'll be a rock? I'll have an experience that the devil can't talk me out of. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis, back there. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, what a presence. Now, don't get worked up. Believe. Rest in his presence. Just step right on in there. Say, Lord, it's over. You have the conference now. It ain't between me and you. Don't wait for me to say something. He's already spoke to you. If you rose your hand, there was something on the inside saying, do that. There's something in there that says, there's got to be, I've got a hunger for peace. There's got to be a peace to have. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, the Prince of Peace is here. I can't do it for you. But I know the one that can. And I know he's so willing. Just receive it, brother, sister. Receive it. Don't be condemned no more. Come into the blood. Come into peace with God. And when you get in that city of refuge, don't worry about no things of the world no more. Just stay there. Hallelujah. It's just a devil's lie. It's an adversary out there trying to get you out so he can slay you when you get outside. Oh, praise God. Brother, sister, you can't hide nothing now. Make it right now. Make it right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make it right now. If you've got to scream and cry and get down and die, you get down and die. Tomorrow might not get here, brother. Don't you bank on it either. Hallelujah. If you knew what I was preaching Wednesday, don't bank on it. If you knew what was preached last Wednesday, don't bank on that. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not just hesitating. The Holy Spirit's working on people, and I've learned to give him the preeminence when he does that. Praise God. Don't be embarrassed. Just be honest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Don't reason. Don't work on that level. You get beyond that. You get down into your heart. And you just be open with God. And you just tell him truth. He'll speak it back. You feel convicted. You're confused and you don't know why. There's a God that reveals the secret things. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care if you're 5 or 100. You know whether you're right with God or not. Hallelujah. This is a real revival. This is what we're looking for. Souls getting right. Souls getting unbelief out of their life. Souls that are saying, I'm here to line up with the Word of God. I'm here to do it. I'm here to do it every day. I'm here to die. As Paul said, I'm going to die daily. My mind doesn't mean anything to me. My reasonings don't mean anything. Lord, if once I walk out of here, there's going to be another onslaught of devils. I'm sold out. I'm still going to fight for you, Lord. I can't get away from it no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In his presence now, if you're out there and you feel good and the Holy Spirit's delivered you, that's fine. I mean, I'm not here to take away from your faith, but if you'd like prayer, little ones, elders, it's fine. Can you come forward now as the Spirit's here? Be happy to pray with you. God bless you, sis. If there's anyone else, just come up here in the front. If you don't, you stay out there with a heart full of faith. Say, Lord, I don't know what their needs are, but I believe with them. Hallelujah. Look at these little ones. I love it. If there's anyone else, please come now. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray. You stay praying too. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. there's anyone else, please come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We've got a need-meeting God that's here right now. Worship in the spirit and truth now.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To be like
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. From earth to glory,
I only ask my Lord to be like Him, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him all through life's journey.
Thank you, Father.
From earth to glory, I only ask my Lord to be like Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, they say God's never but a prayer away. I think he's even closer than that, because he said, before you even ask, I've already answered. How many can just feel the effects of the Word of God today in your life? Hallelujah. You just feel that peaceful one in the room right now? That's him. That's not a man. It's the Son of Man. Hallelujah, brother, sister. Don't cut yourself short no more, brothers. Take this home. Believe it where you're at work. When you get stressed, no, I don't have to feel it, but it's still true.
Amen.
He's with me wherever I am. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel awe-inspired. I believe you feel the same. Just seeing his presence, knowing that he's faithful to us. Thank you, Lord God. How many appreciates Brother Alexander coming and speaking today? Hallelujah. God bless our brother. Sacrifice he gives for the kingdom. I believe he's going to be going overseas maybe this summer, maybe earlier. Can we keep Brother Alexander in prayer?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Remember one another. And don't let the devil take anything away from you that God gave you today.
Amen.
I warn you as a servant of God, this is where most people slip up. The devil will meet you right out there. He'll meet you when you're all alone and say, oh, you just got emotional. It wasn't nothing to it. Don't believe that devil's lie. The word of God went forth. You responded to the word because I believe the word's in you. Don't never let the devil take that from you again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have fellowship over at my house right here in town, not too far away. Everybody's welcome to come. Remember, next Sunday, Brother Josiah Cornett will be here. I'll be speaking Wednesday. And that's all I've got. The rest is just me until at least next month sometime. So you appreciate the Lord today. Can we give him just a hand clap, praise, and worship? Yeah.